You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to a new episode of Delirious Nomads, brought to you by Blacklight Media Records, a weekly podcast hosted by yours truly, celebrity chef Chris Santos. I hate calling myself that. And underground metal connoisseur Matt Bacon, who loves being called that. This is your new favorite podcast for all things heavy metal, as well as breakdowns of your favorite combat sports and riffing on some food talk every week with very special guests from across the globe.
Hello and welcome to the Delirious Nomads podcast. I'm Matt Bacon. Chris isn't here this week, but we do have my very good friend, Ben Voss of Circular Wave Records. How are you, Ben?
Hi, Matt. I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm warm, which is important.
Very good.
Talk to me. So Circular Wave starting to have an impact in Germany, but for American audiences, what's the story behind the label?
The story behind the label is Matthias and I, we come from the major label background. So we used to work for Sony Music back in the days. And as we both share a passion for rock metal alternative music, and of course, like the bigger labels are more into the mainstream area, which was at this time and still is all hip hop, rap, urban music, especially, we thought about why not founding an own label and making it a new home for these kind of bands, because we had the feeling that this kind of music is emerging as well again. And we wanted to be a good alternative home when you mostly have the same ones since a couple of years.
And so it's been going for a few years now.
I mean, we started in April 2021,
yeah,
which was in the middle of the pandemic. Not the easiest time to start a new label, I would say. But it also gave us time to really set it up. I mean, the industry got slowed down. The whole world got slowed down. And we had the time to really prepare and build up for the time to come when now everything, you know, goes back to normal and everything gets speed up again. The last 1.5 years, we built the foundation, had our first signings, had our first record release, physical as well, built a DTC store, which is worldwide, found partners. That's where we're at now.
So talk to me about this for a minute. When you talk about being an alternative to sort of major labels in terms of like as a home for bands, what do you see the mistakes of major labels and bigger sort of metalcore labels in general as being?
Well, I wouldn't say, I mean, I see the mistakes, but what I do see is the lack of building processes or artist development. So normally you would take a band that is already at a certain level when it comes to physical sales or streaming numbers or whatever, social media numbers. So we are kind of trained in the music industry to just look at the numbers and not into the talent anymore. Because, I mean, our newest signing has like a couple of hundreds Spotify follower or not. Yeah, follower and monthly listeners. But does he have talent? Yes. Do you need to find him? Yes. So there's a lot of talent out there, but I think that labels are not really going to talent anymore, which is on an economical side is understandable. But if you don't build up talent, there is no new big bands, or you have to pay a lot to, you know, buy them into your label.
And so how do you personally go about finding bands? I always think this is interesting when I talk to other people who do A&R. Like, how do you discover artists?
I mean, you know, searching the platforms, one of the things. But then, of course, you have your own network that you built during the couple of years. And I think I built a good international network where you are in touch with several people all the time. And I do understand that Circular Wave just started. So, you know, talks about, like, taking on bigger acts is a bit difficult at the moment because you need to, you know, have your proof of concept first. So that's why we're working with newcomers, especially trying to break them. So, you know, you have this kind of proof of concept. Basically, I just recently found a band through TikTok, actually. It's social media channels. I just check out Spotify playlists, check out, you know, what I like, and then it's network. Being active with your ears and eyes.
I like that analogy, being active with your ears and eyes, yeah. Because I think it's interesting, this idea of, like you talk about, I want to kind of boil this down. Because you talk about looking for talent. Because I have a slightly different approach. But when you talk about looking for talent, what does looking for talent mean to you? Like, what can you define talent? Like, is that based on songwriting? Is that based on their social media? How do you perceive that?
For me, it's especially based on, you know, your own vision that you create for yourself. So if you know yourself and if you know what kind of music you want to create, and if you know, the music that you create yourself is already at a high level in terms of songwriting or pre-production, whatever, then it's kind of easier to find people who want to, you know, take on that what you created already and make it bigger. So for me, it's mostly seeing what is inside the artist and if you're ready to kind of conquer the world, if you're ready to be active, ready to work a lot to, you know, make your dream come true, basically.
No, and I think that's a fair analysis of the situation, because I do think, I feel like that's the big struggle of A&R, right? Is like, sometimes you sign a band and that band is super cool the whole time you're talking, and then it comes time to actually work and they're like, well, we can't take time off our jobs. And then you look like an idiot.
Yeah. It's a difficult thing to talk about because, you know, there is talent that look like talent, but in the end, it's just people who are after the next biggest deal, for example, or there's people who are complaining all the time because they have a second job or whatever, though they have the talent to really do something, but they don't want to put in the work and so on. So artists and repertoire management and finding acts that are worth working with, especially like how I see it, is a wide field.
A&R is interesting because it's simultaneously being a music nerd, as well as being able to read people, as well as being able to do, like, to come up with effective deals that make sense for all parties.
Yeah, I'm totally into, like, the deal model. It needs to make sense. You know, you need to earn money as a label. The band needs to earn money as a band. And of course, the numbers needs to be high to earn the money, because it's getting, you know, it's getting even worse to make some money just out of record sales or streams. There's so much music out there. But what I think is that you will always go for the low hanging fruit, right? So you see a band emerging and they maybe have like a couple of thousand streams, or maybe a couple of hundred thousand streams, but you will see them live and they play in front of 50 people. So there's not a real conversion rate, because either you make it in the digital world and then you don't have the real fan connection, or you have the real fan connection, but it goes too slow. So a label would just try to sign you, or doesn't even give you the chance, because they say, like, okay, you don't have the numbers, but you have the talent. So I think it's either way, every label does what is best for you know, the philosophy or the economical side. For us and for me, it's more like finding the USP. I mean, finding talent that it's not really comparable. I mean, there's so many bands out there who sound like this, and, you know, this it's very similar, But I try to find the band that has this kind of like unique voice or unique kind of way to express himself, herself, themselves. And it's just my point of view. So other people would say like, you know, they also sound the same. But yeah, I signed for my label, so I have the same.
That's, I think, a smart way to kind of look at it. And so on that note, you're talking about breaking an artist, right? What goes into sort of taking an artist from, you know, not just getting the streams, which we've talked about, but getting the people to show up? How do you break an artist so that they become a cultural moment, right? Because you've done that before at Sony. What are those steps to kind of turn a band from just a band into like a cultural thing the way you did with Amon Amarth?
Well, I mean, I don't think I did it with Amon Amarth. Sure. You know, this was already a huge act when I came on board. And what I did was just like, you know, probably spending a bit more money and having some ideas here and there, and, you know, having building up a team, working with a good team that was having creative ideas and make what is big even bigger, and creating more attention. But like, if you're talking for a newcomer, I think the steps are, you have to be amazed about the artist, right? So first you meet the artist and you see that the artist really wants to break and really wants to do something. Then it's all about the music as well. So this is a combination. And then you see the surrounding, like who is the booking agent, who is the manager, do they even have those people, and who would you need to find so you will have an add to the whole system. A good add to the whole system. And then it's constant work. For me, I think it's constant work taking the risk and taking good decisions. And even saying no to something is a good decision. Because like, if you get offered a bunch of shitty, you know, gigs or festivals and whatever, it just doesn't bring you anything. Because like, there might be people, but maybe the sound system is not good, for example. So why should you present yourself or present you as a band with a bad sound? Say no to that, which is a good decision, which is a bad decision business-wise, because you would not play the gig in front of like 500 people, whatever, or even more. But you would say for you, it's better to not do it because you just want to present your band in the best possible way. And I know bands who did that in the past.
Absolutely. And I've definitely experienced that, where like, you see a band through no fault of their own, they sound terrible, and you just kind of judge them and you write them off.
Absolutely. And then, you know, you have the industry people there, and you'd say like, yeah, this is a great gig, 500 people, 1000 people, whatever. And then the gig wasn't good because of the sound, and you could do better, but that sticks with the people, and they would go home. So like,
yeah, you only get so many shots.
Yeah. Well, Eminem would say you only get one shot. I think there's a couple more, but you need constant work. And you need the right expectation management. This is also what I tell our bands is, you know, don't expect the next single to explode, and don't expect to get picked up by BBC or the biggest stations and have like 100,000s of streams, but just expect a bit better than you did before. And then again, a bit better than you did before. And with the constant growth, you will reach people and you will get more and more people, and then you will be there where you are interested for example, a big major label deal.
So your focus is more on consistency than anything else.
Yes, especially consistency. I think consistency is key, but I think consistency mixed with talent in so many ways, you know, artist talent plus songwriting plus, you know, your own skills, a good team, makes the way up faster.
Yeah. And then it just becomes a question of finding that team.
Yeah. I think this is part of my job, you know, like I think we have a good team and I think we're doing a good job so far. So I am just another piece of the puzzle. And then there's another piece of the puzzle. And the more people finding each other as this kind of team for this particular artist, and the more, you know, professionality, value, whatever you put into that, I think the better and the faster will you will reach your goals.
Yeah. I want to address that then quick for just a second, because I think there's a couple interesting points you just touched on there. When we're talking about who you want on your team, how do you determine something like that? You know, because I think you see a lot of people who just sort of bring people in to work with them who, you know, probably aren't actually a fit, but they don't have an idea. They have no conception of who maybe they should be bringing in. So how do you know if someone makes sense to work with?
Tricky question, because like in my career, it came naturally. So I met the people somewhere that I ended up working with, because you have this kind of connection and trust, and you share the same passion for your job in general, for the music industry in general, but then also for this particular project, right? So it's, you know, if you surround yourself with kind of saturated people, they don't really care. But if you surround yourself with people who also have this kind of, you know, will to succeed and also the passion, then, you know, they will do whatever it takes to bring in this kind of value and make the way to the top faster.
So then, okay, are you ready for the shitty question?
Sure.
I agree with you. But what do you do, you know, so you're talking about finding people who are passionate about the project and how that sort of opens doors, and that makes sense, right? But what do you do if you're reaching, and, you know, and obviously you have to pay these people or whatever, but you're essentially trying to find people who give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do when it doesn't feel like anybody gives a shit? Like, what do you do when it feels like you're trying to reach out to people and everybody just is like, yeah. Because I feel like, especially like with Bacon's Bits, I feel like I meet a lot of people where that's the sentiment they've gotten. They've tried to build up a network or something. Like, they've tried to work with people, and I think they're looking for that passion. What do you do when you can't find that in the people around you?
I mean, define passion, right? So sure. For some people, passion is just, you know, working with this kind of band style music and be like, yeah, this needs to be big. This needs to succeed. So I'm in. So I really like it. So I will help the band grow, right? So, but for other people, passion is making as much money as you can. This could also be like, if a passionate person is like, you know, there's people who are not that much into the music, but they see the value in the band and they're like, right, okay, this will work and I can bring something to the table and make it work. And if you don't find anybody, you have to question yourself. So I have to question myself all the time. Like, am I the right A&R? Is this the right band? Is this the right, whatever, you know, because, or it's also, again, the expectation management. So if I would expect like a big booking agency signing a newcomer because I think it's a great band, it's a great artist, you know, I would try it. But if I get rejected or the band gets rejected, maybe it was the wrong expectation management, because, you know, what can the artist or I bring to the table to deserve to work with these big companies? So it's, you know, that's what I said. It's always this kind of tricky. It's always kind of tricky to define this world of A&R and signings and stuff, because you would always say you found the biggest talent. But there's so many perspectives and there's so many opinions on the artist side, like on the artistry side, and then also on the business side.
Sure.
And I think the more you do it, the better you get a feeling for both. So you can really like see upfront already, like, is it the right moment to reach out to, I don't know, Metal Hammer, Kerrang, BBC, or big other partners, or is the artist not there yet? So what can I do to make the artist grow before I reach out to the big names?
Absolutely. I think that's, so like, okay, so just to kind of, and I know I'm kind of like picking apart the science of A&R with you, but I kind of enjoy hearing your perspective, if that's okay.
Sure.
So like, again, because this is another piece where I think I don't see people necessarily grasping that, right? Because I agree with you that like for someone to be ready to really be, because so much of this game is that first impression, right? And that first impression being sick, because if I go to Metal Hammer with a band before they're ready, they're just gonna like, they're gonna kind of laugh at me. And then if I go to them again a year later, they're gonna be like, ah, we checked that band out. I don't have time. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, which is fine. It makes sense, you know, because it's true that very often if you have a bad first impression, it's not going to get better. So how do you know when a band is ready to go be presented to Metal Hammer, for example? Like, how do you know that, like, okay, we've reached this level and now we can go to Metal Hammer and not embarrass ourselves and it'll be good?
Well, as I'm not reaching out to Metal Hammer myself, I would trust my promoter.
Well, I mean, or whatever opportunity, you know, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. In general, I think, put it that way, I did quite some years A&R for a major label. And I think whenever some band or manager came and wanted to really sign with us as a label, it's not particularly me, but, you know, get signed to a major, there's this kind of need, you know. So sometimes they had talent, but you didn't really know, okay, where is this going? But as soon as you create, if you turn it around, as soon as you create the feeling for your partners that they really have to work with you, so you do everything yourself, and at one point people come and say like, wow, this is so amazing, it's already big, it's such a great talent, or there's a buzz around, and so on, you know. Let the people come is the better idea than, you know, trying to make the big deal wherever.
I think that's extremely important. I always try to remind people that, like, I'm pretty sure I've never made a signing based off a submission to one of the labels I do A&R for. Or it's been one or two things and maybe I already knew about them.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes things come across and then it's also a combination of what you're looking for at the moment, or do you have free capacities, or, you know, it's sure. The first impression thing that you said, like, you know, if you didn't know a band before and you know, somebody sends you something, you'd be like, okay, shit. For example, we have a band, it's called Dina, it's a German rock band. A colleague, an industry colleague from our distribution partner, you know, sent them to me and said like, hey, look, it's too rock for our, you know, our other distribution. I mean, there was like, I think it was, I can't remember the name, can't remember the company. But anyways, so he was friends with the band and heard like about our label. And he just thought like, just sending it over. I was like, it was 9 o'clock in the evening and I was like finishing my workday. And then I got this email and I was like, I texted him. I'll listen to it tomorrow. Thanks for sending, whatever, yada, yada. And then I was about to close or to shut down my laptop. And then I was like, come on, give it a try. And the first song kicked. And I was like, okay, that sounds interesting. And then second song, third song. And after the third song, I was like, wow, this sounds really good. I want to hear more. So I ended up listening to the whole album. And this band is a total newcomer. They did not even have a stream before.
I remember.
The first songs they're releasing now. So, you know, sometimes this happens as well. And I ended up signing them because I was so excited. And this is what I think it's all about, you know, being excited about the band, the project, and then making other people excited. And then, you know, even though you will not succeed the first time, and it's all about the conversation about the band, so saying, you know, you want to find a booking deal for the band. So you call your friends at the booking agency, like, hey, you know, this is a great project, just sign them. And they was like, yeah, but, you know, they don't have anything there yet, so they just started. I mean, they are known musicians, so they are known in the music industry, but as a band, formed as a band, they did not play, no, they played one gig so far. So, you know, and then you can understand, because you say like, hey, I understand, it's not there yet, so we will just grow them more, and then at one point you will find you'll find the point of business.
It'll click. Yeah. No, I think that's an accurate analysis of sort of how it's worked in my experience as well. And I appreciate you kind of being so open, because I feel like I get a lot of questions around stuff like this, and you sort of leveling around it is helpful, you know. Because I do think, like, for me, so much of it is just around the power. Like, I think the brand, which you were talking about earlier, is really crucial. But for me, it's also just the power of the songs, because I just feel like if you can show up with good enough music, that can overcome everything else.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, if you have good songs, good music, and your band is not ready to put it out because, you know, you have problems within the band, or you're not you know, good on stage or whatever, you can have the best music if you don't have the vision or the if you're not ready, you know. Or you can be ready and you have like bad songs. And that's also like, it's all a combination of so many things. And it's so rare to find that combination, so rare that everything, every puzzle fits together. And even if you have that, there's always something missing. And then you will always dig for that kind of piece of puzzle, right? I think that's our job in the music industry. That's our job in growing artists, finding that, missing piece of the puzzle, and then go from there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there anything, what do we need to be looking out for from Circular Wave?
Just did a signing recently, actually yesterday. The artist signed yesterday. It's he's called Half Cut K9, coming from London, young artist. Very excited about this one. Actually very excited about like the things to come. We are in talks with several artists. We're growing. We are moving into an office this week. Have found an office space, so you know this is all. It's all developing, and I see our company as like a newcomer artist. You need to do your steps and the right steps, and find the right team, and you know, grow the family to grow your brand. And you know, I'll grow it as big as I can with the artists, all our artists involved.
I like that. That's excellent. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting me, man.
All right, so that was awesome. Thank you everyone out there for listening to Delirious Nomads, sponsored by Blacklight Media. We will be coming back at you next week with another awesome guest. Be sure to follow Blacklight Media on socials for new music and more, and above all, keep it heavy.
It is now 2024, and the choice is up to you. Do you listen to good podcasts, or do you listen to bad ones? Well, we've got a suggestion for you. How about you listen to a good podcast for the first time in your miserable life? I can think of one. Overnight Drive. Going strong. 11 years now. The podcast about nothing. Your favorite podcast's favorite podcast. Do you enjoy nothing? So do we. Why don't you come over and check it out and stop listening to other podcasts? Thank you.
Hello out there.
Yes, hello out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's Magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!